Good morning. It's good to be with you all. I appreciate the invite here. Appreciate the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak here this morning. It is my goal, it is my purpose here this morning to bring God's word to you in truth and to help you in your walk with God. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is where our lesson will come from this morning. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Jesus is our perfect provider. This is what we're going to be discussing this morning. He is our perfect provider. God has given us Jesus Christ to provide us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We talk about providers, we talk about the father, we talk about the husband being the provider in the home, we talk about how he provides for the family, we talk about physical, how he provides for the physical needs and the needs of the wife and the children. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. God provides for us physical blessings. Not only does he provide for us physical blessings, but he also provides physical blessings for many in this world. He provides physical needs, he provides food, he provides shelter, he provides things that everyone enjoys in this world, but some are outside of Christ. Those who are inside of Christ are the only ones that benefit from the spiritual blessings that are provided through Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. You have some interactive outlines there beside you. I feel that they help some follow the lesson. If you do not want to use those, it won't hurt my feelings at all. You can take them and chuck them off to the side. It won't bother me a bit. But you have those if you'd like. And we are going to talk about Jesus, our perfect provider. He is our perfect provider in that he provides us with adoption. God provided Jesus Christ for us so that God could adopt us. Let's take a look at verse 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Our God loves us so much that he gave up his one and only son for me and for you. He gave us Jesus so we could become his children. We have been adopted. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 reads, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. And we are his children, according to the purpose of his will. It has been God's desire for man from the very beginning, to have a relationship with Him, to dwell with Him. This is God's plan for us. This is God's plan for you and I. This is His desire. This is the free gift that He offers that has so graciously been extended to us so that we can live for Him, serving Him as His adopted children. And knowing that we are His children, knowing that we have been adopted, we have acceptance. We have acceptance through Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 12 says, "But to all who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Let me repeat that. We as Christians have been given the right to become God's children. This is something that no one can take away from us. When you accepted Christ, when you accepted Him as His Savior, you became His child. He accepted you. We have been given the right to be sons and daughters of the living God. Do we take the time to stop and think what that means? Remember who you were. Remember what you were all about. But God still extended His hand to you. I want to go to the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you turn there with me, 2 Samuel chapter 9, and starting in verse 1, we read of King David, and we read of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a man who was crippled. He was crippled by an accident. He was Jonathan's son. And starting in verse 1, and David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" The king of Israel, King David, accepted a crippled, a lame Mephibosheth to his table. He accepted him into his family to eat at his table always. I want to go to the New Testament. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Look at verse 19. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You see, at one time, we were Mephibosheth. We were lame. We were crippled. We were broken. But God has provided His Son, Jesus Christ, and now we have been restored. We have been brought into God's family. We are now fellow citizens and members of the household of God. How awesome is that? Not only have we been accepted as God's children, but being adopted means that we have access. We have access to the throne of God. In Romans 8, verse 15, we read, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Because we are God's children, we have been given access. We can cry out to our God. Just as a child can go to his father here on earth and can cry out to him, go to him about what's on his heart and what's on his mind, we can go to our Creator. Jesus Christ has provided us access to approach the throne of God. We have been given access to our King. Galatians 4:6 says the same thing, and it says, "Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." We have access to God's throne, and we can go to Him anytime. Not only does Jesus provide us with adoption, but He also provides us with redemption. Verse 7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." The definition of redemption is the act of buying back. God has given Jesus, and He has bought us back. He's bought us back with a price. The price was paid for you and me that we were not able to pay ourselves. And this was made possible by His blood. We go to the book of Romans, chapter 5, and starting in verse 6, it says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God." Our redemption was made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. He purchased us. He bought us back. He loved us. And having redemption means that we have the forgiveness of sins. We go to 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We are a forgiven people. Our sins have been cleansed. And when we continually confess our sins, making correction in our lives to the Father, to our God, He is faithful and He is just. And it says He will forgive us of our sins. We go on to chapter 2 of 1 John. It says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have an advocate. Jesus Christ pleads our case. He goes before the throne of God pleading for us. Jesus is on our side. He is pleading for us, going to bat for us to the Father. Verse 2 says He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. He is the propitiation. He has rendered us favorable before God. We should rejoice in these things. We should rejoice in the assurance that we have in being a forgiven people. He is our advocate. He is the propitiation. And because of this, we can say that we are valued 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says, "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." We as Christians need to recognize that we were valued. We are valued by our God. He provided Christ for us. He loves us. He has a plan for us. He sees importance in us. And because that we are valued, we should in return value our God and what He says and what He wants from us. So glorify God in your body. We should value God just as He has valued us. You see, Jesus became a curse for you. The book of Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" I want you to think about the death that Christ died. I want you to think about what He went through. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes about how Jesus was obedient to the point of death. And he emphasizes even the death on the cross. Well, the death on the cross was something that was heinous. It was agonizing. It was one of the worst deaths that anyone could go through. And our Savior went through it for us. There was many type of deaths at this time that someone could die that seemed honorable. The death on the cross was not one of these. It was a death of rejection. It was a death of humiliation. And this death, Jesus went through for us. He became a curse for you and I. Not only does Jesus provide us with adoption, not only does He provide us with redemption, but Jesus provides us with the mystery of God's will. Take a look at verse 9. "Making known to us the mystery of His will according to the purpose which He set forth in Christ." You see, Jesus has revealed who God is. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, we read, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world." God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything that we need to know about God, Jesus Christ has revealed to us. He has revealed His plan to us. He has revealed His purpose for the way we should live. He has revealed His love for us. Everything that we need to know about our great God has been provided through His Son. And this was done to lead us to obedience. In Romans, the 16th chapter, and starting in verse 25, we read, "Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith." Jesus has made known God's will for us. He has a plan for you and I to live for Him, to serve Him. Jesus Christ came into this world to serve us so that we can learn from Him to serve Him, to give Him honor, to glorify Him. Jesus revealed who God is so that we can live for Him and give Him honor. We need to be leading a life that pleases Him in thanksgiving of knowing what our God is all about. And not only does Jesus provide us with adoption, redemption, and the mystery of God's will, He provides us with unity. Verse 10, "As a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth, Through a relationship with Christ, we have been united with Him. And being united with Him means we have been united with the Father. Take a look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It says that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has provided us unity with God. He has provided us unity with the Father. And not only that, we are united with the Father, we are united with Him. We are united with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 says, we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We have been united with Jesus. We are to live like Him. We are to become Christ-like. We are to be like-minded. Our focus should be on the same purpose, the same plan for God, living in accordance with God's will. This should be our attitude as Christians. And because we have been united with God and united with Christ, that means that we are united with one another. We go to Romans 12, chapter 4, and it says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We are all united with Jesus. We all have different functions, different talents, different things that we bring to the table. But we're all one body in Jesus Christ. And we all come together for the same purpose, to glorify God and to give Him honor and to live according to His plan. This is God's plan for us. Not only does Jesus provide us with this, but He also provides us with an inheritance. We can glorify in God knowing that He has provided us an eternal home. Verse 11 says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. We go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. See, God has provided us a home that is imperishable. Our inheritance is imperishable. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, let's go to Daniel 2, verse 44. It says, and in those days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring to them an end, and it shall stand forever. You see, God's kingdom is imperishable. It will stand forever. And nothing can touch it. Our inheritance is undefiled. Revelation 21, verse 7 says, but nothing unclean will ever enter in, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is undefiled. It is clean. It is pure. And this is what we have to look forward to. Our inheritance is unfading. It will never fade away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, for we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our world here is not our home. Too many people get caught up in the things of this life, the riches of this world. storing more and more up for something that's just going to fade away and die off. Well, you know, the Christian home is never going to fade away. It's going to be everlasting, eternal. It's going to go on and on and on. And we have that home to look forward to. This is our inheritance. This is what God has planned for us. And along with this inheritance, Jesus provides us with a guarantee. Verse 14, starting in verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. You see, this guarantee that we have is sealed by a promise. We have been promised. We have a guarantee. We have something to look forward to. We have an eternal home that cannot be destroyed. We hear promises all the time. We hear promises from politicians, promises from employers, promises from people in our everyday life. But this promise that has been revealed to us means everything. Why? Because God does not lie. Titus 1 refers to how God does not lie. But I want to go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 18, where it says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. If God said it, we can believe it, because God does not lie, and God is always true to his promises. And we need to remember that. We need to keep that in our minds, because too often we see too many Christians walking around as if they've not been promised anything. Walking around as if they have no hope, that they've not been promised an inheritance. Brethren, we need to get away from that. We've been promised a home in heaven with God. We are his children. He has chosen us. And we need to praise him for that. You see, God is to be praised. He sent his only Son into this world to serve us, because he had a plan for you and me. He loved us, and in return, we are to love him. And this is his plan, for us to serve him and to glorify him and to give him honor. He gave us the opportunity to serve him and to live a life of holiness. We should honor him for that and give him glory. Having a relationship with Christ means everything. But if you're not in Christ, you can't enjoy these spiritual blessings that I talked about this morning. If you're not a Christian today, what's holding you back? Why turn him away? God extends to us everything. He extends to us all the spiritual blessings. Not some spiritual blessings, not a few spiritual blessings, but all spiritual blessings are provided with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you made him your Savior? If you haven't, all things are ready. You can confess him today. You can confess him that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can repent of your sins. You can be buried with him in baptism. And you can leave here this morning a new creature, born again, looking forward to that home in heaven that he has waiting for us. Do you know him? Make the decision today as we stand and sing.